Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. And how did the big online chat go? You're in a new world now.
Swimmingly well, yeah. You know, we did the radio show first, so we had a full hour of your turn. And Tammy Flanagan was the guest, and she fielded a lot of questions, did a lot of talking, and people who were on the online chat would do well to listen to the radio show, too. It's archived.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved over at 11 o'clock, 11 to a little after 12, and got a couple of hundred people who signed on and
wow.
sent in questions. And we're still getting them, in fact, and we are going to answer them one by one, but we'll get it done. But it's very interesting for a number of reasons. It's the advantage, as you well know, of you're going right into people's homes or offices. So it's a one-on-one between you and the person asking the question. At the same time, you have the advantage, what I call the wisdom of the crowd. It's like going to a seminar of any kind where people ask questions. And it may be something that never occurred to you, maybe something you didn't know existed, maybe a major roadblock down the road for you. And you hear it, you can read it on this, see the questions, see the answers. And I think it's very useful. We got exclusively good feedback on it, which is wonderful.
What kind of questions were people asking you?
All it covered the waterfront, but the usual: should I get Medicare after I retire and have my federal health plan? Is there a Social Security offset for people under FERS? A very good question, I thought, and one of the few that I could answer. Tammy Flanagan is the expert, and Lauren Larson ran the board. But one of the few questions I could answer was, and you think about this, it's important. They said, should I go to my HR benefits office or a financial planner first?
Hmm.
And yeah, you think, whatever. But Tammy concurred, go to your benefits office.
Yeah.
Because that way, then you will go into the financial planner and he will know how much you're worth on the hoof,
yep.
what you're going to get, what you're not going to get. So it was a really good question. I wouldn't have thought to ask that, but it's a good question.
The archive of that and the archive of the show available at federalnewsradio.com. And Tammy's magnificent. I mean, I just can't.
And she got up this morning at like 6:30 to begin answering some of these questions. So we had them ready to go, and Lauren could just cut and paste them in. So we had, I think people must think we're very fast typists.
Yeah.
But we had some advance warning on these.
Well,
but yeah, she's great. And she's going to go home. We had lunch. She's going to go home and start handling the emails we're getting from the show this morning.
Yeah. I mean, you have an advance because she's so smart about this stuff. She anticipates what a lot of the questions are going to be, what folks want to know.
Absolutely.
From seeing them at the seminars and stuff.
Well, and the great thing too, Tammy started out in the HR business, at the FBI, which has a magnificent program. And then her husband is a former Secret Service guy. So she knows not only the regular benefits and retirement and all that, but she knows the thing for the LEOs, the law enforcement officers, and who have a different system. So
mm-hmm.
he's extremely knowledgeable. I mean, I don't know anybody that knows as much as she does.
What else did you cover on the show?
Let's see. Best day to retire.
Yeah.
Best dates to retire. And again, that's interesting because Tammy is sort of the one that discovered, or at least first published, the fact that for a lot of reasons, the best date to retire is December 31st or January 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. And there's reasons for this about when your annuity starts, when your salary stops. But if you think about it, if you retire at the end of the year or the first 3 days of the new year, if you have excess unused annual leave that you can carry over, instead of 240 hours, you can carry over as much as 440 hours. And that's a lot of money. That's a chunk of change.
Yeah.
You'll get paid most of that in the new calendar year when presumably your taxes are going to be lower. You'll get paid for most of that unused sick leave annual leave. You'll get paid for most of that at the new higher rate if there is a pay raise in January. So it's really a win-win situation, and it's the kind of thing a lot of people, I think before they retired in December or January just because it was December or January.
Right.
But now they slice and dice and make some money.
Federal News Radio's senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. And regarding best dates to retire, before I met my wife, all of my dates retired from dating
they
me.
They did. Yes, I understand that.
So it's how it kind of works out.
Gave up men, yeah.
On the federalnewsradio.com right now, in addition to the archive of the web chat and the program from today, is a story that my colleague Jack Moore wrote about my conversation with Steve Condrey, who is the head of the Federal Salary Council. And he and I had a terrific conversation on Monday about the proposals that he would like to see to revamp the general schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And with all due respect to him, I'm not sure there's much chance that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't hear much of a hue and cry to do that.
You know, I don't know when it manifested itself in its present form. About 1948, I think, is when they went to the GS schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But every 2 years, somebody proposes revamping it, changing it. The only thing that's happened in that last 50 or 60 years is when Jimmy Carter managed to get through civil service reform, and they did away with the top three grades,
mm-hmm.
16, 17, and 18, what were then called super grades, and put them into the senior executive service. And that was really that had a political twist in it. No, I don't think there's a lot of people on the Hill are going to say, you know, I think I make my reputation by championing changing the GS system. And, you know, we've had forms of this with the performance system that was put in when the Republicans controlled the White House, and that performance-based thing, and that lasted 3-4 years, and then it was completely repealed by the Democrats. So
mm-hmm.
it may be a really good idea, but I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere.
Well, that's actually where I wanted to go next, is because of the compression of the upper grades, that seems to be the thing that most people are concerned about, grade creep.
Mm.
Beyond that, I wonder what the really big issues are.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think that some of these people are just wonks and they want to get into something, and that looks good. It's interesting you mentioned grade creep, because when I first started doing this, there was great concern about grade creep, and every year the average grade went up, and I think at one point it was GS 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
Now it's must be up there around 11, something
uh-huh.
like that. But what so many people don't take into account or don't think about is how the government has changed in the last 20 or 30 years. You know, it's gone from, say, 40 years ago, it was an army of clerks with, you know, green eye shades and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And now there's a very small clerical workforce. A lot of people do their own typing. We're on computers. And the administrative and technical and scientific arm of government has grown. I forget what year it was. Maybe it was in the 1970s when the number of scientists exceeded the number of secretaries.
Wow.
You could just see that. So, yes, there is grade creep, but is it unjustified?
Yeah.
In the old days, the idea was, I'll put 20 people under you. You can be a GS-7. If you can round up a few more people to supervise, we'll make you a GS-9.
Uh-huh.
That was grade creep. And promoting people in lieu of a pay raise. You know, if there weren't any pay raises, I'd give you a promotion. And
right.
It definitely was that. It was proven. But I think now it's just it's a natural evolution of the federal workforce.
Well, and you make a good point there, because we can say grade creep happens and this and that. If it's appropriate and if it's for good reason, because
yeah.
people who work for the government do different things and should be paid at a different level than before, you know, you have a secretary that's, what, a GS-5 or something?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have those anymore.
Yeah.
Those people don't exist. And so if the people that remain are all at the upper levels, then maybe just stretching out the upper levels is not such a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, too, about the federal grade structure that a lot of people who like it is that it is fair, in that if in the private sector you can be a man doing certain duties at a certain level and be paid one thing. You can be a woman, and for reasons best known to them, you can be paid less. In the government, a GS-12 step 5 is a GS-12 step 5, and it doesn't matter whether it's a man or woman or Ed the talking horse, you know.